It'd be great during this time if everyone could stay in the auditorium, and I would encourage the teenagers to stay with us because this is a time of prayer and praise, and what we want to do during this time is just to encourage our prayer life, and we'll put the scripture references on the screen. A couple of men are going to help me with this, but what we've done is this particular service, I've taken the acrostic. Now, some of you have been reading the book. How many of you are reading the book, The Battle Plan for Prayer? I know I've asked you that before. I think it's page 125. There's a chapter in there on the Word of God, and so I've taken information from that particular section, and I've used this acrostic before, and they happened to mention it in that particular chapter, so I chose to take that acrostic, and we'll teach through that today. I'll ask you later on to participate, not only in corporate prayer silently, but also that some of you might lead off in prayer and join us for that as we mention the different areas. But if you'll look in your outline, we've taken the acrostic ACTS, A-C-T-S. Now, maybe you use something else, and that's fine. We're not suggesting that this is an inspired way to pray, but it is a way to help you to remember and to concentrate and focus on what you're praying about. And you'll notice that the suggestion of the acrostic is to start off with adoration toward God. We'll explain that in a moment. And then confession, and then thanksgiving, and then supplication. And as we explain each of those, we'll spend a little moment in prayer as a result of that. Now, you'll notice that we're emphasizing praying the Word of God. Sometimes, if you've ever been stuck in your prayer life, or maybe sometimes you're not sure how to pray or what to pray, maybe sometimes you don't feel like praying. And that's when it's good to maybe go to the Word of God, find a portion of Scripture, and we have several here that we'll mention, and I would encourage you to take note of those, mark them, and look those up later. You'll notice the central idea: if your heart is right with God and others, prayer can flow directly from your heart. Are you right with God? Are you right with others? And let's focus on that today, on making sure that our relationship with the Lord is what it should be. And maybe if it's not what it should be, this will be a good time to maybe reflect on that and perhaps deal with it. Now, look at the introduction with me. Prayer is personal, completely unique. Yet even with this much freedom involved, God does provide powerful resources to help us pray strategically and specifically to help you to know for certain that your heart is beating in step with God's. Now, you'll notice, and we remind you of this, many of our scriptures are taken from Psalms, and sometimes we forget that Psalms was the Hebrew, the Jewish hymn book. And often the Psalms is full of prayers that they were praying. Now, I'm going to open with Psalm 19 and just use this to introduce something to you to cause us to reflect in the beginning on this and give you a little bit of explanation. What a great psalm. I hope you'll read this later, and I think we're going to put that up on the screen, Psalm 19, and we're going to put up 7 through 10. Now, the first part of this psalm, and I just give you a little explanation of this to help you to understand, this psalm deals with general revelation as well as special revelation. And let me give you just a little explanation of that. General revelation consists of that which all people everywhere can know about God, even if they have no access to Scripture. And for instance, the Bible teaches, and if you want to find a good cross reference for this, go to Romans 1, read Romans 1 sometimes, and you see the emphasis there that our moral conscience always lets us know that we're accountable to our Creator. And Romans 1 reminds us that we, as mankind, we're without excuse. And the first part of this, when we talk about general revelation, we're talking about nature itself. Someone said, nature preaches a sermon of God's glory. In other words, when you look at nature itself, it reminds us that there had to be a creator. This didn't just happen one day. Maybe, unfortunately, you might have heard or perhaps even believe somewhat in the Big Bang Theory. But I heard a speaker recently say one of the most important verses in all the scriptures, if not the most important, is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. I mean, it all starts there. In the beginning, God. Well, what was before that? God. And what will be in the end? God. And this psalm reminds us, first of all, of the general revelation. Nature itself ought to teach us that there was a creator. Now, the portion of scripture we look at in verses 7 through 10, and let me read that to you, and you follow on the screen. This is dealing with the special revelation. The instruction of the Lord is perfect. Now, you're going to see a number of different words throughout this that make reference to the Word of God. The word instruction is referring to the Word of God. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. The word testimony, making reference to the Word of God. Making the inexperienced wise. The precepts, another word, referencing the Word of God. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord, another word referencing the Word of God, the word command. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord, another reference, is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord, the word ordinance, another reference to the Word of God. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from honeycomb. Now think with me through that portion of Scripture, beginning in verse 7, as the writer begins to explain to us here the special revelation. The scripture here opens with the idea of general revelation, but then David quickly moves to the topic of special revelation. And when we talk about special revelation, we're talking about the Word of God recorded in Scripture. Now notice, first of all, Scripture is perfect. It lacks nothing. Everything you need to know to be what God expects you to be, you will find revealed in the Word of God. Now, second, the Bible is trustworthy, you'll see in that text. It's reliable. We are enabled to make good and wise choices that reflect a divine perspective just from reading the Word of God and trusting the Word of God. Now notice also, thirdly, the precepts of the Lord. Scripture's divine principles. They lead us down the path, the right path. They point out the road we ought to take and promise us blessing for taking it. You'll notice, fourthly, that the commandments of the Lord, and these are eye-opening when you think about the many commandments of the Lord in the Scripture, as mentioned there in verse 8. They illuminate darkness. They illuminate dark situations. so that we can know how to proceed as we see the light. And then fifth, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. God reveals himself. God reveals himself without contamination, without flaw. His word is unchanging, and it's always relevant. Six, the ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous, he tells us in verse 9. Ordinances are judgments, are verdicts, delivered from a judge's bench. We can be assured that anything that comes from the supreme judge of the earth is right and true. Then seventh, you'll notice the teachings of Scripture are more desirable than gold, verse 10. The Bible is more valuable than anything the world has to offer because it can provide what the world doesn't have. So as you think about the importance of general revelation and special revelation, we see the reminder, we see the emphasis here on God's truth and on God's word. Now, if you'll put your acrostic, if you'll have your acrostic in front of you and follow along, we're going to begin with the first one, and then Josh and Chris are going to help me with the second and third one. So you'll notice 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12. And read this scripture with me. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty, for everything in the heavens and on earth all belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Now, the word adoration, we understand what adoration means. Adoration can be defined as the act of paying honor to God. In the scriptures, various forms of adoration are mentioned. For example, there's the Old Testament emphasis on putting off your shoes. You remember, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off. Bowing the knee. Bowing on your knee. Now, it's not necessarily to always to get on your knee to pray. Sometimes you're in your car and maybe another car is headed in your direction. You need to pray quickly. Falling prostrate. That was very common with the Old Testament believers. Even kissing had an emphasis of, in their culture, of adoration. Now, in the same manner, respect was shown to kings and other persons of exalted station. Putting your hand over your mouth implied the highest degree of reverence and submission. So think back with me on the emphasis of adoration. That first statement, the act of paying honor to God. Now, we all understand the emphasis of our English word adore, to adore something, adoration to someone. So I want us just to bow for a few seconds, and I want to invite you just to pray silently and to use this act of paying honor to God, and just use this as a time to pray to God in adoration. Lift up your heart and glorify God. We're just coming off Thanksgiving. Goodness, can all of us say, Lord, we are so grateful, so thankful, even in the midst of maybe personal circumstances, we still have so much for which to be grateful. So let's take just a few seconds to pray. Thank you. Chris is going to come now and share the second word in the acrostic, confession.
The second word is confession. Psalm 51, verses 10 and 12 state, God, Create a clean heart for me, a renewed, steadfast spirit within me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. And confession can seem simple in itself, right? You know, when kids get in trouble, and you ask them, did you take the cookie? And they say no, obviously. But eventually they confess that they did take the cookie, right? It's a minor thing, right? It might seem so small and minute, but even when that child confesses, they know the guilt that they have for what they did, right? And the same thing that we have when we confess. You know, through salvation, you know, recognizing that we are sinful, that Jesus died on a cross for us, to then confess our own sins to bring us closer to God so that we can be forgiven for those sins. And while stealing the cookie is a small sin, there are a lot of big sins in the world. And those confessions that we have are a connection between God one-on-one. It's not a confession that you have to say out loud in front of a congregation or to go to the pastor so that the pastor can then pray on your behalf for you to reach salvation. You can do that at your home at any time, in your car on the way to work, or here at church. The Hebrew word for confession is used in the sense of acknowledging one's sin. In the Greek, it means to say the same thing, not to deny, and so to admit or declare oneself guilty of what he is accused. You know, it reminds me of when people go to the courthouse, right? And they're sitting on trial, and then, you know, the preliminary hearing, they always ask you, how do you plead? Innocent or guilty, right? Or not guilty, in other words, for innocent. But as you see over time, you know, the prosecutor presents their case, and then sometimes the defendant has a change of heart. They tell the judge, you know what? I do want to take ownership. I do want to plead guilty to these charges. And that's another form of confession, right? It might not resolve what had happened fully, but it starts the healing process. And that's what confession does with us each and every day. You know, no one here is perfect. I'm not perfect. Pastor Creed's not perfect. We can lose our temper. We can think things. We can say something that we truly realize was a mistake and are remorseful for. But God allows us each and every day an opportunity when we wake up, an opportunity to come to him in prayer, to give thanks for all that he has done for us. And as Pastor Cree talked about, you know, with Thanksgiving, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. Thankful for we rose up this morning. Thankful we were able to spend Thanksgiving with family and friends. Thankful that we have family and friends, right? But thankful that we were able to come here today for church service. Thankful to hear today's message. We're thankful in so many ways. As part of being thankful, we also have to be one with God. And we can't be one with God if we live in sin. And that's what separates us, that sin, right? We're not fully removed from God, but we are a little bit removed from God. But that confession, as we give our confession to God, we allow that opportunity for us to be healed so that he can be forgive us for our sins. And so that the reason Jesus died on the cross was the opportunity for that to happen. So as we come up to a prayer, Pastor Creed's going to come back up, and we pray silently. Now's the opportunity to confess. Even if you're the only one that knows about it. You're not the only one. God knows about it. Others might not, but God does. Let's pray.
Our heads for prayer, and as the verse explains, confession is agreeing with God about your sin. God knows the sin going on in their lives. And let me ask you to take the moment this time. Maybe something you're struggling with that you need to ask God to forgive you of. He promised in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You notice David didn't say, restore my salvation. He said, restore the joy of my salvation. Because after his gross sin, he had lost the joy of his salvation. And he needed to be in a right relationship, a right spirit with God. So won't you take a few moments and pray and ask God to help you. And to forgive you of some sin. And if you can't think of anything, ask God to reveal anything that you need to confess to him. So let's pray. Amen. Josh Perkins is going to come and share Thanksgiving with us.
Thanksgiving. Psalm 118, 1 and 21. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. I will give thanks to you because you have answered me and have become my salvation. As Christian grace, Thanksgiving is gratitude for all the benefits of divine providence, especially for the general and personal gifts of redemption. The Christian privilege is to find reason for gratitude in all things. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
I wonder if there's anyone that'd like to just quickly stand and give a popcorn testimony of some, maybe something you're thankful for this time of the year or any time. Anyone just want to stand quickly and say, Lord, I thank you for?
The church family itself is our family extended, and we're always grateful and thankful for whenever they're able to help us when we need it. And that's what we're thankful for, especially not having family so close by.
Amen. That's a good emphasis, church family. Anyone else just want to stand quickly and just share a word of testimony? Okay, we're going to deal with the last word on the acrostic supplication. There's an interesting portion of Scripture in Psalm 84. We're reading verse 8 and verse 11. Lord God of armies, hear my prayer. Listen, God of Jacob, Selah. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. The word supplication has the meaning of a cry for mercy or a request or a favor. When we think of supplication, we think of a specific request or favor. Isn't it interesting that in the acrostic that's last, and you think about all of the others, adoration, confession, thanksgiving. Now we're ready to pray, Lord, I need you to meet this or to help this person. It is basically any request by a person addressed to God. We're practicing supplication any time we present our needs, our desires, our wishes to God in prayer. This can be for ourselves or on behalf of others. Now, when you notice the verse again, Lord God of armies, your translation might say hosts, Lord God of hosts, and he says, hear my prayer. And then he says, listen. Often in the Bible, you see the phrase, give ear. When you see that, that means listen, God of Jacob. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. If we walk by faith, then whatever begins with grace will ultimately end with glory to God. God does not give us everything we want. But listen, God does not give us everything we want. But he does bestow upon us all that is good for us. Someone said, I'm thankful God didn't answer all of my prayers. Because God knows what's good for us, and he knows what's coming, and he knows what we need. And he may not specifically answer the way you ask, because he understands a need that you have. He bestows upon us all that is good for us, all that we need. Someone said, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So supplication, when we pray about our needs, our desires, our wishes, can be about ourselves or can be about others. And let's bow for prayer, and I would like to invite you to stand as God leads you. Maybe there's someone in our congregation on your heart, some need. Maybe it's personal, maybe it's something for someone else you'd like to pray for. But let's bow our heads in prayer, and let's have several of you just stand and pray in honor of this idea of supplication, praying for the needs of someone else. We have several folks in our church right now that are in need. Maybe someone would like to mention those. You'll notice in your notes at the conclusion, the Psalms, as you can tell, are a great place to start and a rich treasury of prayers and praise. But expect the Lord to illuminate his thoughts toward you from one end of the Bible to the other. Instead of just viewing it as reading material, open your heart to receive it also as prayer material. When you don't know what to say, let the Bible lead your praying for you. In conclusion, I just want to mention again, I mentioned earlier the article in our newsletter. I hope you'll get a chance to read that, John 3:16. Most of us are familiar with that popular verse. For God so loved the world that he gave. Isn't that a great thought? Salvation begins with God's love toward us. 2 Peter reminds us, God said, God is delaying his return so that more people might come to him as Savior. And so I hope today as you think about this acrostic, as you think about coming off Thanksgiving, as we think about going into the Christmas season, let's certainly reflect on God's love, not only for us, but for others. We all know people that need to know the love of God, amen, during this time of the year. And let's think about God's giving his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only Son. He sent his Son to die for your sins and my sins. And I hope today, boy, what a great time of the year. Someone was talking to me recently about getting baptized. And I said, boy, this would be a great time of the year to get baptized during the Christmas season. But what a great time of the year to reflect on God's greatest gift to us. you know, the Christmas story. Boy, don't let the Christmas story becomes trite. Let's never get to the place. What an important doctrine, the virgin birth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of my favorite songs is, Mary, Did You Know? And I love that phrase, Mary, did you know that you kissed the face of God? Can you visualize that? This young, probably teenage mother had this baby through the Holy Spirit of God that impregnated her. Mary, did you know that when you kissed that baby, boy, you were kissing the face of God. You were kissing God Himself. Isn't that a great thought? God gave His Son that you and I might have our sins forgiven. We might not understand all of the theology and the theological words, but we can understand the fact that God gave Jesus that He might pay in a blood atonement on Calvary's cross for my sins. God's love, God's giving and receiving. I hope you can say right now, I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know that if I passed out into eternity today, I know today if I took my last breath, I was visiting with a lady recently and she was telling me her background, which was different than ours. And I said, well, the important thing is that we know Jesus as our personal Savior. And I just emphasized, and I quoted 1 John 5:11 to her. I said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Isn't that a simple verse? He that has the Son of God, he who has received, he or she who has received Jesus as their personal Savior has their eternal destiny settled. He who does not have the Son of God is still lost in their own sin. I hope you can say during this time of the year, I am so thankful for God's love. I'm thankful for God's gift of His Son. And yes, I have received Him as my personal Savior. And this lady asked me when I was talking to her, she said, can you explain to me what happens when we die? Do we go someplace to, and we have to wait, or does our soul, she said it like this. She said, some people say your soul sleeps until, I said, no. And I quoted 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I said, as soon as you take your last breath, you're with Jesus Christ in heaven. And she seemed so relieved to hear that. I hope you can say today, I know Jesus as my personal Savior. I've received Him into my life. I know eternal life is awaiting me. Let's bow in our closing word of prayer. And let me ask you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there someone here today who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I know Christ as my Savior. I'm not sure I've made that important decision, but boy, I'd like to. Could I pray for you? Would you just slip your hand up? Man, woman, teenager, is God speaking to you about your need of receiving that gift that God sent of His Son? Please pray for me that I'll find Jesus as my personal Savior. Anyone? Now, I'd like to just ask you quickly in closing, is there anyone say, Pastor, I know my prayer life has been laxed and not as faithful, not as consistent, not as persistent as it should be. And I'm praying now that God will, through the scriptures I've heard today and through my understanding of God, I'm praying that, and I'm asking God to help me to make some decisions right now to be more consistent in my prayer life. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Yes, 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 yes. Pastor, please pray that I'll be more consistent in my prayer life and that I'll be more faithful, whether I use this short acrostic or whether I use some other method. I just want to improve and increase my prayer life. Scripture read earlier was pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Anyone else, just slip your hand up. Pray for me that my prayer life will. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the emphasis today on prayer and praise. We thank you for just the opportunity to listen from the word, not only the importance of prayer, but the importance of the fact that you listen and hear and lend your ear to us, especially in time of need, and you encourage us. You said, come boldly before the throne of grace, and we come before you this morning asking that you'll help all of us to be more faithful in our prayer life. We ask it in Jesus' name, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.